I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. This chapter, as several other chapters in the first five books of the Bible, it lists the and explains the Ten Commandments. We're going to read in just a moment in verse 8, down through verse 11. I'm speaking on this thought. The rest day is the best day. Look with me, if you will, in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God gave Moses 10 commandments on the Mount Sinai. Later on, we read in verse in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God instructed the leaders of Israel to teach these commandments to their children on a daily basis. Teach them to them when they go to bed. Teach them to them when they get up. Teach them to them while they're sitting around the table. Teach them the 10 commandments. This was the law of God. The one that I read to you is the last of the commandments that deals with our relationship to God. You see, the first four commandments deals with our relationship to God. The last six commandments deals with our relationship with our fellow man. And so here is the last commandment that God deals with our relationship to God, and they are connected, and they teach us how to worship God. Now that may sound like an elementary thing to us, but so few of us really understand and know what it means to worship God. And so these teach us how to worship God. For instance, look in verse 3 and note how the first commandment says that we are to worship Him only. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. When we come into the place of worship, that means you put aside everything else. Cell phones, notebooks, whatever it may be. In other words, focus your attention on Him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then in verses 4 and 5, you'll note the second commandment says that we are to worship Him correctly. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness thereof. So we're to worship Him only, and we're to worship Him correctly. No graven images at all. And then the third commandment says that we're to worship Him sincerely. Verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Bible says that God hath highly exalted Him and hath given Him a name that's above every name. And we should not take that lightly. We're to worship Him sincerely. And then this commandment, verse 8, we're to worship Him regularly. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now this is the longest and probably the most misunderstood of all the commandments. There are those who make this commandment the cornerstone of their denominational teaching. Sabbath means rest. And there are three primary rest days found in the Bible. And I want to deal with them this morning. There is the creation rest. And then there is the covenant rest. And then there is Calvary rest. Let's notice in verse 11 again, the creation rest. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, and he rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. When God finished, created the world in 6 days, he rested. Moses recorded this event in Genesis chapter 2, and I'll turn back there and read those verses for you. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 down through verse 3, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day, and from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So there is a creation rest. God, when God finished creating the world in 6 days, he rested from his work. God rested after his work of creation, not because he was tired. Isaiah says this. He asked the question, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? So God did not rest because he was tired. God rested to reflect and to rejoice in his created work. Those of you that understand and know music, you know there are rests in music. Why are there rests in music? Because the musicians get tired? No. The rests are in music. They're there for emphasis and reflection. God rested and then reflected on his created work. And when he looked upon it, he said, it is good. He rejoiced in his creation. You see, the entrance of sin disturbed and interrupted God's created rest. We read in John chapter 5 where Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day, and which was a day of rest. And the Pharisees, that religious crowd, they condemned him for working on the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus answered, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Ladies and gentlemen, until sin is fully banished from the earth, there is work to do. So there is the creation rest, where God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he rested from all his labor, from all his work, and he rejoiced in what he had made and said, behold, it was very good. Now look at Exodus chapter 31, and let us notice, secondly, a covenant rest in Exodus chapter 31. And notice verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths, note that plural, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Look in verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. Notice it was to the children of Israel, not to the church, but to the children of Israel. All the Bible is written to us, but all the Bible is not for us. But the Bible says these are written for an admonition. In other words, that we may learn from them. But then he goes on to say, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. In verse 17, the last part, the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So we've seen the creation rest. And here he's talking about a covenant rest. Now the creation rest pertained to God. The covenant rest pertained to the nation of Israel. God gave his special covenant people a special day of rest. The seventh day, Saturday, the last day of the week. Fellas, when you come to receive the offering and you're asked to pray on it, pray over the offering, please do not say, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. You're a day late. It was yesterday. This is not the Sabbath day. This is Sunday. But that was the seventh day, Saturday, the last day of the week. And notice how that the covenant was made for a particular people. It was made for the Jews. The seventh day of the week was to be a sign of the covenant between God and Israel. Now there are some who observe the Sabbath day, Saturday. But we must be careful about claiming to keep the Sabbath. To break the Sabbath law in Israel meant sudden death. Verse 15 of chapter 31 of Exodus says, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. So if you claim to keep the Sabbath, you're going to have some real problems come Saturday. In other words, look in verse 3 of chapter 35 and notice what I mean by that. You shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. So, you know, if you're one of those that claims to keep the Sabbath, I must encourage you. Don't start the engine of your car. Don't turn up the thermostat. Don't start a fire in the fireplace. To do any of those things, the Bible says you have committed a crime worthy of death. So the Jews were required to keep the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. For those who did that, they would receive a blessing. Those that failed to do that, they were under a curse. Now, there are 39 words in the Hebrew text of this fourth commandment. And it literally reads like this. Remember the Sabbath day holy. The Jews added to the Word of God, and they found 39 ways to break the Sabbath. But they weren't finished with that. They took each of those days, or those 39 ways, and they broke them down into 39 divisions. And when they finished, they had 1,521 days to break the Sabbath. The Sabbath was supposed to be a blessing to Israel. But they so distorted it that what was meant to be a blessing became a heavy burden. Jesus said to those Pharisees and scribes who condemned him for healing on the Sabbath, he says, thus have you made the commandment of God none effect by your tradition. So that Sabbath is a covenant between God and Israel, a perpetual covenant forever. So there's a creation rest of 6 days. God created heavens and the earth, and he rested. Then there's the covenant rest made between God and Israel. And then we come now to creation rest. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll read a couple of verses there. Verse 9 and verse 10. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, just as God ceased from his works of creation. As God did from his work, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You see, the believer's rest is in a perfect work of redemption, as God's rest was a perfect work of creation. Now notice something. Calvary, don't miss this. Calvary is the fulfillment of the Sabbath for us, and this is how this commandment applies to us as a church today. The Bible says that the Sabbath God gave to the covenant nation of Israel, notice this, was a shadow that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's very important. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, 17, let no man judge you in respect of an holy day or of the Sabbath, which was a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. The body is of Christ. Have you ever seen a dog chasing the shadow of a bird flying overhead? Well, if you have, that's a beautiful illustration of people who are still trying to keep the Old Testament covenant Sabbath. They're chasing shadows while the reality, the body of the whole matter, is passing by them, and the reality is none other than Jesus Christ. Oh, the reality of knowing him as your personal Savior. When did God rest? After his first creation. He created the heavens and the earth. In 6 days, he rested. When did Jesus rest? After his new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But Jesus did not come to earth to rest. He came to complete the work of redemption. And when he bowed his head on the cross, he said, it is finished. His work was done. And the writer to Hebrews says in verse 12 of chapter 10, but this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. How precious indeed that is. So we celebrate the first day of the week as our day of rest and worship, not the seventh day. Now, why is that? Because Jesus burst asunder the bonds of death and came out of his grave on the first day of the week. The Bible calls it, in Revelation 1:10, it is called the Lord's Day. And this day is the Lord's day. Hallelujah. The Lord's day. You see, Sunday, and here's where a lot of folks get all messed up. Sunday is not the last day of your weekend. Make a note of that. It's the first day of the week, and you start it right by being in the house of God. You can hear people when they get off from work on Friday, they say, well, I'm going out of town for the weekend. Well, I want you to know, this is not the last day of the weekend. It's the first day. It's the best day. It's the rest day. It's the day we're together in the house of God. You know, the early church regularly met for worship on the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them. One of the common things you're hearing today among this new religionist, we don't like preaching. We don't need preaching. We don't want preaching. But I tell you, my friend, in the early church, Paul preached when they gathered to break bread on the Lord's day. And by the way, the church collected its offerings on the first day of the week as they came together. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 16:2, let every one of you, how many does that leave out? Lay by him in store as God has prospered you. In other words, God is saying when you gather together upon the first day of the week, you're to bring that offering to God in the manner that God has prospered you. And the more he has blessed and prospered you, the more you want to bless and prosper him in your giving. That's good preaching, Brother Don. The covenant Sabbath speaks of the finished work of creation, while the believer's Calvary rest speaks of the finished work of redemption. The first Sabbath rest dealt with life in Adam. Our Sabbath rest deals with life in Christ. The first was given to Israel. The second was given to the church. The first was a day of law. Ours is a day of love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy might, and with all thy strength. Keep in mind, God's original purpose in the Sabbath was to give us a day of holiness and rest. Consider how this applies to the church today. First of all, make this day a day of reverence. Make the Lord's day a holy day. Take time to be holy and to worship on the Lord's day. And forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of the best things, and I see this as a failure in so many homes today, but one of the best things a father can do for his family is to make church attendance a regular habit. The Word of God says in Isaiah 38:19, the father of the children shall make known thy truth. So, Dad, make your worship on Sunday your highest priority, even more important than your work on Monday. Don't look at me so strange. Don't give God excuses that you try to give your that you wouldn't give to your boss. For instance, you wouldn't say to your boss, "I didn't come to work yesterday because we had unexpected company." That wouldn't last long. Or you might say, "You know, I had every intention of coming to work, but I was so tired, I just slept in." Try that one on your boss. Or you might say, "Things are so hectic around the house, I just decided to get away for a while." But you may not have a job when you finally do show up. One of the common things I heard when I was pastoring and doing marriage counseling, I would often hear this from one or both of them. "Well, I just needed more space." Well, the government's given it to us. Social distancing, they call it. And by the way, if you're using the excuse not going to church because you just don't want to be in a crowd, now's the time to come. You're not going to get in the crowd. The crowds are staying away. I was visiting one time in a home of a young couple. They had just brought a baby home, and I used to say a new baby, but all born when they're just born, they're new babies, so I quit saying new babies. They brought a baby home and after birth, and they had been out of church 2 or 3 weeks after they get in. I said, "Well, we're looking forward to having you back in church," and introducing the baby to the congregation. I said, "Well, you know, we won't be there for a while. The doctor told us to stay out of, keep the baby out of crowds." I said, "Well, honey, the church is the best place to be then. You're not going to run into big crowds." All the excuses. By the way, an excuse, I think Dr. Vance Havner said this, an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. You might want to remember that. So, Dad, when you fail to make church attendance a regular habit, you are saying to your children, "It's nice, but it's not necessary." So prepare your family for church on Saturday. You see, it's harder to get ready for Sunday school than regular school. When I was a boy growing up, mothers always prepared their children for church on Saturday. They laid out their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and they polished their shoes and they made sure everything was in place. So the next morning, they put on those Sunday clothes and go to church. Of course, today you can't tell Sunday go-to-meeting clothes any different from the regular clothes they wear all the time. But back in those days, there was a difference. See, you have to plan ahead. Father, it wouldn't hurt to help your wife get the children ready. One dear lady said to her husband, "Look, if you'll come in here and get the kids ready, I'll go out and sit in the car and honk the horn." So make this day a day of reverence, and then make it a day of rest. Instead of Sunday being a day of rest, in most homes, it's a day of restlessness. Homes today are places of upheaval. There used to be a time when a man would come home, put his hat down, wipe his brow, and say, "Boy, it's good to be home. It's a jungle out there." Today, the jungle is on the inside. Our homes are filled with so much pressure. I've never seen so many hurried and restless people. If the computer, the calculator, the cellular phone, and all these other technological wonders are supposed to save us time, why do we have so little time for the things that matter? About all that we have accomplished is speed and noise. Oh, we get there faster, but we don't know where we're going. And when we get there, we're out of breath. We're sort of like a man who swallowed an egg whole. He was afraid to move because he was afraid it would break. But he was afraid to sit still because he was afraid it would hatch. Sort of like the fellow standing beside the road had a rope in his hand. He was so confused, he didn't know if he had found a rope or lost his horse. So make the Lord's day a day of rest. That's what it was designed for. So there's the creation rest. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and he rested. And then God made a covenant with Israel and gave them a day of rest on Saturday. And then there's Calvary rest. And it's in Christ we find our rest. The Sabbath day is not a day of legalism that God gave to the Jews, but it's a day of liberty. Jesus has set us free to love and to serve him. And that's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." Unless you understand, and hear this carefully, unless you understand that Jesus is your rest, what I have shared with you about this fourth commandment will mean absolutely nothing to you. Jesus Christ is the place, he is our person of rest. The only rest is in him. So if you're tired of trying, start trusting. Why was the law given in the first place? Because men had been sinning long before God gave the law to Moses. So why was it even given? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians that without the law, I would not have known sin. That the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. You see, the law lets us know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is saved from sin by trying to keep the law. Somebody says, "Well, I do the best I can. I live and try to keep the Ten Commandments." Well, the Word of God says, if you've broken one, you're guilty of breaking them all. And so, no one is saved from sin by trying to keep the law. The law gives no power for salvation. We're justified by faith and by faith alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you entered into Calvary's rest? The Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, today is a great opportunity to find rest for your soul. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We invite you to come and kneel at this altar. Someone will be glad to come and pray with you and be there for you in a supportive role to help you. And as a mother and dad that's rearing your children today, do you need God's help in helping you teach your children what the Word of God says about holy living, honoring God and His Word, and living for Him? Making church attendance a regular habit. Maybe today there's some to me need to make a rededication of their commitment to Christ, a rededication of their life to Christ, that they're going to teach their children what thus saith the Lord. We wait patiently. I invite Brother Steve to come, and he'll close the service. You be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you today for allowing me once again to share the precious Word of God. May the Holy Spirit use it to enlighten us, encourage us, and convict us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.